I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
This morning's scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. Now large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost, to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' What king going out to wage war against another king will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The word of God for the children of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Johnny. Appreciate the reading. You know, this text has confused Christians and scholars for ages. To think that Jesus would say to hate anyone is mind-boggling. Because of this, I'd like for you to think of these words coming from Jesus as a metaphor for bearing the cross as Jesus' disciple. And how is it a metaphor, you may ask? Well, I want you to think about this because it's pretty important for us to understand what Jesus is saying. Remember, Jesus is walking with a large crowd traveling with him when he suddenly turns and says this to them. It's not like they asked him a question. He just turned and said it. "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple." Now, what I believe Jesus is saying is not that we should have an absence of love for our family members and friends and all, but is addressing the consequences, and sometimes contradictions of following God, as Jesus did. Think about it. Jesus followed God, but Jesus considered the consequences. And in his case, the consequence was being hung on a cross. He knew. He sat down and he figured out exactly what was going to happen, how it was going to happen, and he continued to carry his cross. To understand the meaning, let us look at our Lord Jesus in the big picture. Following God got him turned against the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, all of the church, high church people that we would think of today were the high synagogue, the high temple people of the time. And so he knew going in what was going to happen. And when you and I tell someone that we're Christian, and we act Christian, live Christian, sometimes people look at us like we got a chicken on our head. For example, if you're a guy and you're out with the guys, and some of you have seen this happen, they're out there cussing like a Marine. Notice I didn't say sailor. We don't do that. But they're cussing like a Marine, and you're sitting there and you don't join in, and they're drinking and cussing and carousing, and you don't. Because you're going to follow Jesus. You don't say anything, you just don't participate. So when you leave, there's a conversation. "Hey, that guy's weird. He's not one of us. He's not like us. I want him in our group. Yeah, we need to kick him out. He doesn't do what we do." Now, on the other hand, it could be that being a woman, Your girlfriends say, let's go out and party. We'll go to a bar and get blasted and dance the night away. And you say, I think I'm going to go home and read a book. You leave, and the women say, she's not one of us. We're not inviting her anymore. You see, because you follow a different leader. I have no doubt some of you have experienced this in your lifetime or seen it happen to other people. Others may have given in, not wanting to be the odd one out. Guys actually tend to be the worst. I can tell you from a counseling perspective, more guys will acquiesce to peer pressure than women. Well, I can't let them think that, you know, I'm girly. I'm going to get out there and drink and cuss and have a good time. Guys do that. The point is, Jesus isn't speaking of hating a person, but a person's behavior, regardless who they are, joining in on their behavior to avoid ridicule just to fit in. Some of my favorite sports quotations come from Yogi Berra, and I ask that you listen closely to these quotes because there's a grain of truth in them. Nobody goes to that restaurant anymore. It's too crowded. If people don't want to come out to the ballpark, nobody's going to stop them. Someone asked Yogi what time it was. He said, you mean now? Yogi was asked his philosophy of life, and he said, when you get to a fork in the road, take it. Another one, I don't want to make the wrong mistake. Then, you can see a lot by watching. And last but not least, if you don't know where you're going, you'll end up somewhere else. There's a lot of wisdom in some of that. There's so much truth if you listen to what is said. Spiritually speaking, if we don't know where we're going, we're going to end up somewhere else. It's important to have a goal and to keep our eyes set on that goal. That's what Jesus is saying to the crowd. If your goal is to follow me, I'm telling you now, you need to think about that. Don't be walking behind me thinking that you're going to be one of my students and then not do what I say. If we just spend our lives drifting spiritually, doing what others want us to do, hoping we'll end up where we want to be, we're just deceiving ourselves. Keep in mind, Jesus was a Jew. His family was Jewish. Those who followed him were Jewish. Remember how his disciples would admonish him on occasion for breaking man's law? For breaking the Jewish law? For speaking to and helping those who were considered enemies of the Jews. You remember the woman at the well? See, Jesus was doing all this, and they're going, oh, Lord, don't do that. Don't, no, no, no. Jesus says, you don't get it, do you? You're following man's law, not God's law. God loves all people. It is interesting to me that so many people, even in today's society, will walk into a church, say, I want to be a Christian. They'll hear all the Christian teachings, whether it's in Sunday school, from the pulpit, wherever it is. Then when they walk out the door, they say, okay, now I don't have to live by that anymore. I'm not in the church. Jesus says, you take account. If you're going to say you're a follower, be a follower. Listen to the determination in Paul's voice on this topic. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it on my own. But this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. God's call in Christ Jesus. It's a higher calling than just saying, when I go to church, I'm going to be a good Christian. I'm going to be a good Christian even when I'm outside of the church. Remember how Jesus in Luke 16:13 said, "No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." There's that word again, hate. This is not a call to hate people. Jesus would never put us out there for that. But a call to turn away from that which takes you off of God's path. If it takes you away from God's path, don't do it. Jesus calls us to the fruits of the Spirit. That fruit which pulls us onto God's path, God's ways. Jesus tells us man's ways will demand absolute loyalty and submission. Therefore, despise it, turn away from it. Can you do that? Or have you found yourself in situations out in society where you say, "I really need to fit in on this one"? You know, there's an old farmer, he plowed hard for many days with an ox and a mule yoked together. The ox told the mule they should play sick and rest. The mule declined, saying, "No, we must get the work done, for the season is short." But the ox played sick, and the farmer brought him hay and corn and made him comfortable. When the mule came in from plowing, the ox asked how things had gone. The mule said, "We didn't get much done, but we did okay, I guess." The ox asked, "Did the old man say anything about me?" "Nothing," said the mule. The next day, the ox played sick again. When the tired mule came in, he asked how it went. "Okay, but we sure didn't get much done." The ox asked, "What did the old man say about me?" The mule replied, "Nothing directly to me, but he talked a lot to the butcher." Folks, Jesus doesn't want us to get butchered by the request and demands of family and friends, by society, if and when they ask us to follow man's laws and wishes rather than God's. Like the ox, we could lie around, never pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We could, but is that really what you want to do? Do you want to say, "When I'm outside these walls, I'm going to have fun and I'm going to do all these things, but when I come inside, I'm going to let Jesus know that I love Him. I just feel foolish if I carry His way of living out in the community"? Jesus calls those who follow Him to be determined in their commitment to follow Him. That's what He's telling the crowd. He calls those who follow Him to think of the consequences of not doing so. That doesn't mean going to the hot place, but going no place. To the abyss of achieving nothing for God. Therefore, Jesus says, "Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Well, let's define carrying the cross. You may be sitting there with your pen and pencil. Well, what does that mean? I want to know what it means. Carrying the cross, according to the gospel, number one, to champion the cause of the poor and diseased. To view one's calling as more expansive than the confines of the church. Three, to sometimes buck traditions and those who view traditions as infallible. To live a life unwilling to take bribes and to amass wealth on the backs of the oppressed and the unaware. Five, to expand one's conception of family to include neighbors near and far. Carrying the cross is a daily struggle, and the commitment must be renewed every day when we're confronted by temptation to set the cross down. Jesus tells the crowd to love the sinner but hate the sin of not doing God's work daily. For Jesus, family is a big word, a word that encompasses all of God's children. And you heard us say it many times, all means all. There's no exclusions. You'll never hear that on the lips of Jesus. Jesus asked the crowd to count the cost of following him just as they would count the cost of building a tower. He wants no one to make the commitment without understanding the cost, which may be your life. It certainly was for him. Not long after I got out of the Navy, there was a 14-year-old girl named Laura, not my wife, whose appendix burst while she and her family vacationed on a cruise ship off of the Baja coast. The ship was hundreds of miles from help, and the crew sent out a distress call looking for the nearest surgical unit. A Navy carrier was about 500 miles away, and they answered the call. The carrier was in the midst of training exercises, but the crew of 6,000 stopped and turned its ship around and steamed 250 miles through the night to get within helicopter transport range. Laura was airlifted on board and doctors performed the life-saving surgery. The cost of saving that life was $2.5 million a day. A day. $2.5 million. That's a lot of money. How was that family ever going to pay for that? When the bill comes and they say, hey, the United States Navy saved your life, you owe $2.5 million, what would you do? But you know what? They didn't have to pay. They didn't have to pay a penny. The cost was way too high. But the U.S. government believed the young girl was worth saving, so they gave her a free gift of life. $2.5 million a day to see to it that she lived. Now I'm going to ask you, $2.5 million is a lot, but how much more is it when you give your life? Do you know someone who gave their life? God certainly does. What Jesus asked the crowd and asked us is, do you really understand the cost of discipleship? Do you really understand when you say you'll be one of my followers, what it's going to cost you? You may lose family and friends. Jesus certainly did. You may find the road rough and you may find people that disagree with you and want to kill you. Or stone you as they did Paul. Whatever the consequence is, are you committed? Or are you just walking behind me here in the dirt, thinking, oh, I'm just curious? You see, they were literally following Jesus. But were they mentally and spiritually following Jesus? That's what Jesus wanted to know. You're walking behind me. That doesn't make you a follower. Your commitment to living the life of a follower, that's what's going to make the difference. How much would you put on your life? And how much would you put on your life as a Christian right now? Would you say that you're fully committed? Would you say that when you walk out these doors, nothing's going to shake you from doing what you know is right according to the words of our Lord? Maybe the cost is way too high. But only you and I can make that determination. We have to decide. Are we going to follow here and here? Or are we just saying words? Makes a difference. Let us pray. Gracious God, we know that all too often our lips say things that our heart and our mind do not feel and are not committed to. We ask that you give us your spirit, that when we make our commitment to you, the commitment that many of us have already made, that we're able to hold on to that commitment, to live that commitment, to do your work, to be your people. And remember that we are to love our neighbor, and all are our neighbors. Fill us in our going out with your Spirit, that your work may be done, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.